The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com and also Kiplinger.com. Our first article from Money.com, Social Security benefits have lost 20% of their buying power since 2010. Retired workers would need a $370 monthly bump in their Social Security payments to make up for a 20% loss of buying power since 2010, a new report says. The average monthly Social Security benefit for retired workers, which was $1,860 as of January, would need to rise to $2,230 to make up for the loss in buying power, according to a new report by the Senior Citizens League, a nonprofit advocacy group. Social Security benefits get annual cost of living adjustments, or COLAs, based on the Consumer Price Index for all urban wage earners and clerical workers, which is referred to as the CPI-W, a government inflation measure. The 2024 Social Security Cost of Living Adjustment, abbreviated COLA, was 3.2% and followed large increases of 8.7% and 5.9%. in 2023 and 2022, respectively. However, according to the Senior Citizens League, COLA adjustments over the years haven't matched the inflation that beneficiaries face, which hurts the standards of living for many of the roughly 70 million Americans who receive Social Security. Benefits for retired workers have increased 58%. Since 2010, when the average monthly amount was $1,176. But that hasn't been enough to offset recent inflation, especially in housing and transportation costs, which weigh heavily on older Americans' budgets, according to the report. In that time frame, retired beneficiaries have reportedly faced 73% inflation. And again, Social Security benefits lose buying power. The Senior Citizens League's analysis of buying power is based on, quote, a mixture of index data, including from the CPI, and publicly available price data, such as the cost of a new car. Also, the analysis uses an experimental inflation index for the elderly, the CPI-E for weighting. With this methodology, which emphasizes things like medical costs, the organization argues that only one out of the last five COLAs actually match the inflation affecting older Americans. The exception was 2023, when the 8.7% COLA exceeded the calculated inflation rate of 6.5%. As the recent string of COLAs outmatched by inflation suggest, COLAs have gradually become less likely to beat inflation over time, the Senior Citizens League said in a report, noting that 60% of the adjustments in the 1990s and 2000s exceeded inflation. Their math shows that the 3.2% COLA for 2024 should have been 3.4% to match inflation, and the 5.9% COLA for 2022 should have been 7%. The report argues that 2010 and 2011 were particularly, quote, bad misses that contributed significantly to the loss of buying power. No COLA adjustments were made those years because the CPI-W didn't show an increase, But the Senior Citizens League reports the inflation rate for retired workers was 2.7% for the 2010 COLA period and 1.5% the following year. Social Security continues to be one of the most popular government programs. A separate report this week from the National Institute on Retirement Security found that 87% of Americans say the program should remain a priority for the nation, no matter the state of budget deficits. Also, a large majority of respondents said they want Congress to act now on a long-term funding solution for Social Security. Without a legislative solution, Social Security trust fund reserves are on track to be depleted just over a decade from now. At that point, only 83% of benefits would be paid to recipients. And our next article from Kiplinger.com, Understanding Your Financial Belief System. If we can disconnect from our past beliefs and assess our current situation with a certain level of objectivity, we can make more appropriate decisions. Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. This observation speaks to the power of belief. A belief system is a set of principles and ideologies that we use to interpret our everyday lives and reality. Like any belief system, financial beliefs are instilled over time and are shaped by a lifetime of experiences. So it can be challenging to step back and examine these beliefs objectively. If you believe money is the only thing people care about, then if someone questions you about that belief, your initial reaction will almost always be something like, this isn't a belief. This is a true reflection of reality. But is it? Is your belief about money a factual representation, or is it a perspective you learned in the past that might no longer serve you? I maintain that if you go about life with a scarcity mindset, no matter how much money you have or make, you will still believe you don't have enough. Whereas, if you have an abundance mindset, no matter how little you have, you will believe there is an opportunity to earn more. If we can disconnect from our past beliefs and assess our current situation with a certain level of objectivity, we can ultimately make more appropriate decisions for our current and future situations and contexts. Here are four ways to look at your financial belief system more objectively. The first one, family history. Look back at how your parents and immediate family felt about finances when you were growing up at home. Were expenses and money a topic of conversation? Did anyone argue about money? Did you believe you were poor? Did you believe you were rich? Do you still feel that way? Number two, personal perspective. How do you feel about money? What does money mean to you? Is it evil? Do you love it? Is it something you value highly or something that has little value to you? Or is it just a means to an end? Number three, expenses versus values. Take a look at everything you've spent money on the last 2 weeks. Compare these expenses to your values. Are you spending money on the things that you truly value, be it family time, charity, business growth, or travel? Or are you dedicating money to things that aren't relevant to your values? And lastly, number four, future goals. Our goals for the future always have a financial component. You might want to live a certain way, retire at a certain age, travel, or buy a home. Have you clearly identified what you want your future to look like? These four questions should help you better understand your past and current beliefs about money. You are your financial future, so if your financial beliefs or actions are not helping you to attain your dreams and desires, it might be time to question your beliefs and if they are actually true or need adjusting. Because, as Ford suggested, whether you think you are poor or think you are rich, you are right. Our next article from Kiplinger.com. 10 old things in your home that could be worth a fortune. Those old things collecting dust in your home may actually be worth more than you think. Those old items collecting dust in your home can actually be worth more than you think. A lot more. So before you go throwing away or donating everything from your parents' attic to Goodwill, check to see if you might be able to make a couple hundred or even several thousand dollars off of what you find. Everything from vintage cookware to old school gaming consoles can be worth more than you might imagine. 10 old things in your home worth a fortune. Check out these 10 old items in your home that could potentially be worth a lot of money. First up, kitchenware. One place to look for hidden household treasures is your kitchen. One common brand that can be worth quite a bit of money and has a following of dedicated collectors is Pyrex. Since it's so common, not every piece of Pyrex will be worth money, but certain vintage styles can sell for hundreds to thousands of dollars online. For example, a four-piece set of rare vintage Pyrex bowls recently sold on eBay, get this, for $900. Number two, vintage toys. Have your kids grown up and moved away? If you've managed to keep any of their old toys for some reason or another, you could be in luck. Remember Furbies? If you have one of the talking toys, it can be sold for from anywhere from $95 to over $200. Although some have sold for much more, depending on which you have. The author notes that he still has his rare Royal Furby from when he was a kid, but he says I'll be holding on to it for sentimental value. If you own any Polly Pocket toys and accessories, especially those made in the 1990s, from the pre-Mattel days, you could make several hundred dollars. A vintage Polly Pocket Children's Hospital from 1995 sold on eBay for approximately $132.87. And a Polly Pocket 1992 Party Time Birthday Stamper complete set sold for a shocker $1,049.16. And don't forget about Pokemon cards. Recently, a 1999 Pokemon base set sold for around $626 and, believe it or not, 86 cents. And number three, VHS tapes. Money Week found that collectors are driving up demand for VHS tapes, with some willing to pay as much as $25,000 for unopened packaged videotapes. Some of the most coveted VHS tapes that sell for a high price include Star Wars, The Goonies, Superman, and Rambo. Kiplinger has some advice to help you determine whether your old VHS tapes could be worth thousands, according to an article from October of 2023. Here's what's valuable. Blockbuster films from the late 1970s and 1980s released on VHS prior to the 1990s. 1980s horror films, A 1981 Halloween original first print VHS sold for $127.20 on Etsy. And a sealed 1990 first release, Friday the 13th Part 8 VHS sold for $316.94. Sealed tapes with a studio watermark are also of great value. And some early Disney copies that were released in the early to mid-1980s, like Tron, The Black Hole, and collections of early Disney cartoon shorts. And number four, old school video games. You'd be surprised just how much certain video games go for online. Certain collectors will pay hundreds, even thousands, for rare retro games. So dust off your old gaming console and take a look at which games you may have. They could be worth a good chunk of change. One of the rarest games, Little Samson, for the Nintendo Entertainment System, has sold for over $2,000 on eBay. Other titles that earn a lot include Mario Kart 64 for Nintendo 64, sold for $450. Super Mario 64 for Nintendo 64, sold for, get this, $2,513.69. And also, many games for a variety of consoles can be worth more than you might think. So, remember to do a little research before bringing your old games in to your local GameStop store. And number five, vinyl records. Music fans, those old LPs you have lying around could be worth a lot of money, depending on the artist, album, and release date. In fact, in the UK, our sister brand publication, Money Week, released a report on 10 vinyl records worth up to £10,000, which includes The Beatles' Please Please Me, which sells for around £6,000, and Led Zeppelin, which sold for £7,100 in 2013. And number six, how about that Boy Scout memorabilia? Were you a Boy Scout back in the day? You likely kept some of those old badges and pins around for sentimental reasons, without knowing they could be worth several hundred dollars. For example, one collection of vintage Boy Scout medals, patches, and rings sold for $240, and a 1990s Boy Scouts Eagle Rank medal sold for $199.99. Older, rarer memorabilia can sell for much, much more. We saw a 1920s Boy Scout Eagle Scout medal that sold on eBay for $2,826, and a collection of 1930s Boy Scout Eagle Scout medals, merit patches, and pins sold for $4,275. And number seven, vintage newspapers and magazines. If you have any old magazines or newspapers lying around before you recycle them, check to see what they're worth. Limited edition publications or ones centered on major popular culture or historic events are sought after collector's items. According to Woman's World, vintage magazines that once sold for around a dollar are now selling for $20, $30, or even $50 on sites like eBay. Lucky Buckeye Collectibles, one of eBay's most reputable sellers, specializes in vintage items, selling a variety of titles including The New Yorker, Life, Time, Saturday Evening Post, Vogue, and Cosmopolitan. Currently, he's selling a 1961 January TV Radio Mirror magazine with Dick Clark front cover for $74.99, and a 1952 January 21 Life magazine with Dwight Eisenhower cover for $39.99. And number 8, old clothing. If you've held on to clothing from back in the day, you might want to consider selling it online rather than dropping it off at a thrift store. Those old t-shirts hanging in your closet could be worth a lot more than you think, especially if they're vintage band tees. Recently, a Beach Boys Chicago tour shirt sold on eBay for around $108.79, a vintage 80s Grateful Dead band t-shirt for $300, and a Nine Inch Nails tour shirt sold for $199.99. And that's just t-shirts. Other types of vintage clothing like dresses, shoes, and jackets, especially if it's from a designer brand, can sell for hundreds of dollars as well. For example, a rare vintage gunny sack dress, circa 1978, recently sold on eBay for $725. One vintage Oshkosh Bagosh denim chore coat sold for $150, and a Betsy Johnson cardigan top sold for $90. And number 9, rare coins. If you take the time to sort through your spare change, it could pay off. If you have one of the following rare coins lying around, it could score you several hundred to several millions of dollars. And number 10, typewriters. Have an old typewriter collecting dust in your attic, but not sure what to do with it? Sell it online. It could earn you a few hundred to $1,000, depending on its condition, brand, rarity, and when it was made. Some of the best typewriter brands are Underwood, Remington, and Oliver. One antique 1895 Remington model, number 6, upstrike vintage typewriter with case, sold on eBay for $1,200. While a vintage 1932 Underwood typewriter sold for $550. We also saw that a 1930s Remington Monarch Pioneer typewriter with a cover recently sold for $249.99, and another sold for $195. And our last article for today's episode is from Money.com. Time is running out to snag a CD with a 5% yield. For over a year, savers have been able to find certificates of deposit, or CDs, offering annual percentage yields, or APYs, of 5% or higher. But those days may be coming to an end. With the Federal Reserve expected to cut interest rates by September and possibly several times before the end of the year, this may be the last chance for savers to lock in a 5% APY with a CD. To fight surging post-pandemic inflation, the U.S. central banking system raised interest rates 11 times from March of 2022 to July of 2023. Making borrowing costlier for consumers and slowing down the economy. But higher benchmark interest rates have also meant better returns on savings accounts like CDs. A CD is an account insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, with a fixed term and a fixed interest rate. But CD terms are as short as 3 months, but may also extend up to 10 years. These accounts are not as liquid as other savings options and often come with early withdrawal penalties. So investing in a CD is best suited for people who have money they won't need to access until the term is up. Why CD rates are going down? Banks and credit unions have lowered the rates on CDs so far in 2024, and that trend is likely to continue. Market observers expect the federal funds rate to be 75 basis points lower at the end of the year than it is now, according to the CME's group's FedWatch tool. Speaking generally, the more the Fed cuts interest rates, the more you can expect CD rates to fall. For now, some banks are still offering 12-month CDs with an APY at or above 5%, but the list isn't as long as it used to be. In January, Barclays, Marcus, and Sallie Mae were advertising 5.5% APYs. As of Wednesday, Marcus and Sallie Mae were down to 5.15%, and Barclays was at 5% flat. Discover's 12-month CD fell from 5.2% to 4.70% in that time frame. In January, Ally was offering a 5.25% APY for 12-month CDs, which has more recently decreased to 4.5%, a significant drop. Ally's Chief Financial Officer Russ Hutchinson said in a first quarter earnings call that, quote, "the combination of a great brand and comprehensive value proposition enabled us to lag competition from a pricing perspective on the way up and positions us to lead on the way down." In an earnings call Wednesday, he said Ally's next steps will depend to some extent on Fed rate moves. And should you lock into a CD rate? According to Brian Johnson, Chief Financial Officer at CDValet.com, it's unclear exactly where CD APYs are headed in the rest of 2024 due to the uncertain rate environment. The trajectory, however, appears to be down. CDs have been more attractive compared to other principal guaranteed options like treasuries, which has not always been the case, he writes in an email to Money. As a result, it's a good time to buy a CD and lock in the extra yield. Longer-term CDs currently have lower rates than 12-month CDs. For example, Ally's 3-year CD has a 4% APY compared to the 4.5% APY for the 12-month option. Banks are offering lower APYs on these CDs because they don't want to be stuck paying above market rates if the Fed goes on a cutting spree. And we are out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.